All right, Who's Talking is back, and we're geared up for a visit from a famous wide receiver and defensive back and all-around good guy, Ahmad Hawkins. Ahmad was one of those fine athletes that came out of Hampton, Virginia, and was coached by Mike Smith years ago, and he matriculated to UVA in 1997. He was coached by George Welsh, and Ahmad had the pleasure of playing with guys like Aaron Brooks, Thomas Jones, Jermaine Crowell, Antone Womack, Terrence Wilkins, another quarterback, Dan Ellis, Billy McMullen, and, of course, Anthony Poindexter. So Ahmad got to see some of the best athletes UVA's ever put on the gridiron, certainly in the modern era. And we're sort of looking forward to his visit, obviously.
And he do a little cross-promotional work here. He does a column for the Saber on the Saber's Edge called the Hawk's Nest. And I think we may have Ahmad on the phone right now. Ahmad, Jim Hobgood here. Welcome, and glad you could join us.
Glad to be here. How you doing?
We're doing well, and let me ask you a question about, Coach Groh down at Operation Football in July. He made reference to three keys to a football team: quarterback, defense, and the kicking game. Speak to those three areas of the Virginia team as you see it for the upcoming season.
I think that's real important. I think those are very important keys, just because we don't know who our definite starter would be as far as the quarterback between Vic Hall and Jamil Sewell, even Mark Verica. As far as defense, we lost a lot. We lost three of our top tacklers. You know, our linebacker core, as you've known since Coach Groh has been there, you know, we actually been led by linebackers, and now we have to rely on that secondary that we have. And then with the kicking game, we have to get some out of our punt returners this season, because that's the area we struggle the most as far as the return game. That's very important. That could be huge game changers. So I think those are some great keys that he hit on.
Yeah, let me just a quick follow-up, and I'll let Frank get in here in a minute. But your column in the Saber made reference to something that I thought was interesting, and I didn't really thought about it, but the Vic Hall move to offense, everybody's thinking about the positives of that, but that definitely takes something away from the defensive secondary, not having him back there.
Oh, yeah. He made a lot of big plays. Playing the nickel position was one of the toughest positions, playing that slot receiver. That sometimes teams will bump their best receiver in. And he caused a lot of fumbles as far as stripping the ball. He did well blitzing the quarterback. He was just a guy that had a knack for making big plays on defense. And even though he's going to the offensive side and everybody's worrying about, you know, will he start, that's a big void that we have to fill on the defense side of the ball.
Ahmad, this is Frank. Glad you could be with us tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Ahmad, some of the quick questions that come to my mind, I think first and foremost, Virginia fans the last 3 years have had a hard time watching the offense, because it seems like they could move the ball some, but we just really weren't putting any points on the board. And, in fact, last year we averaged 16.5 points a game. What do you think about the talent on this team, the capabilities of the quarterbacks that are coming back, the new spread offense, all of that? Will this ultimately generate more points for Virginia fans and for the team?
Yeah, it should generate more points. If you look at the history of the spread offense, as you look around college football, we looked at Utah when Urban Meyer was there, Bowling Green, and then you look at Florida now, Rich Rodriguez when he was at West Virginia. It hasn't really caught on at Michigan. So you hope that learning curve doesn't take as long as it did at Michigan last season. You would hope that we could pick up on it and generate more points. And with the quarterback situation, it actually plays into our hands, because, you know, when an inexperienced quarterback, if Vic Hall does play quarterback and he doesn't really have that much experience on a college level, it helps generate him getting into a rhythm, because there's a lot of short passes. He can hand the ball off. He can use his feet, get out the pocket, almost to where how it was with Marcus Hagans, where you make a hybrid package for him to where he could get out on the side, outside of the tackle box, and just become that ultimate athlete that he is, and don't really have to rely on making so many reads. With spread offense, is one side of the ball. You have your two reads. If they're not there, you know, you run the ball. As Vince Young showed when he was at Texas, he wasn't the greatest quarterback, but he was a great athlete, and he excelled like that.
You know, you come out of summer camp, and then, of course, they've gone, I guess classes have started now, so they're back to a more routine practice situation. But it's got to be a little bit of a grind the month of August, and it was really hot spot there for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So these guys have to be in pretty good shape. But from a player's perspective, it must really be fun to finally get to the point where you're actually going to play a game and get out there and compete.
Oh, yeah, it's one of the best feeling ever. You go through all those spring games, and then you have the summer games where you continue to scrimmage and you're vying for a spot, vying for playing time, and continue to hit your buddy that you see every day, and you learn on that, you know, learn their tendencies, what's their weaknesses, what's their strength. Now you finally get to go up against a real opponent that you don't sleep and eat with every day, and it's just the greatest thing. You come together as one, as a unit, and you start on this journey of becoming champions, and, you know, they get to start this journey on Saturday night versus Wilm and Marion. I know these guys will be very excited. They just have to control their emotions early and just let the game come to them.
And I hadn't thought about it, but I guess Virginia has not won the opening game since 2005. So important on Saturday night to get off to a good start, get that win under their belt, and hopefully play well and see how that spread offense operates in Charlottesville.
Oh, mm-hmm. I would have to agree with you. It's very important just from a fan standpoint that they – show that they can put points on the board, that they can come out, be exciting, you know, have some long runs from the inside zone from Mikael Simpson, some bubble screens, show that we can stress the field with Jerry Green, and hopefully the young Frost Tim Smith can come in and be our version of Percy Harvin with his speed and his knack for making big plays that he did at Oscar Smith. Hopefully they could just sprinkle him in and just give us a glimpse of what we could be in store for the next 3 or 4 years.
Ahmad, this is Frank. I noticed that Vic Hall is on the depth chart also fielding punts. What mm-hmm. do you think about that?
Well, I really don't have a problem with it just because Vic Hall is, you know, just an athlete, and you have mm-hmm. a guy like Jamil Sewell who's competing with him. And since it's such a, you know, it's a question mark for us as fans, if he's your best guy to return punts, that's a very important aspect of special teams. And he has so many young guys behind him, I think. You know, Coach Grohl is forced to use him. I don't think he would use Vic Hall unless he was forced to. And they have all these freshmen coming in, and they have guys who really don't have experience catching punts that's competing with him. And that's his comfort zone, having Vic Hall. So I don't think it's as big of a deal. And it might be a little preview is telling us that maybe Vic won't be playing as much quarterback as we think he is. And if he does get into a groove as our starting quarterback, there will be a change as far as the permanent turn in my eyes.
You know, I think that's a very astute point. I have a feeling that Jamil Sewell is going to be getting a lot of minutes, and I think that bodes well for an exciting and diversified offense. Looking at the depth chart and having been to Al Groh's end-of-summer press conference, I'm wondering the tailback situation. You know, Mikael is not the biggest guy, and he's really sort of built like a flanker. Mm-hmm. You got Keith Payne, who's a monster. And then you've also got Torrey Mack. What do you think of these three men and their different skill sets?
Yeah, exactly. That's the best thing about having three guys that are polar opposites. That's more that the defense will have to game plan, have to scout, and that works out. That bodes well for, you know, the offensive staff, that all three of these guys can play at a high level, and there's not a major drop off when you have each guy in there. It only bodes well just for the offense, and it gives the defensive coordinator problems as far as scouting us. With Mikael, he has great speed. The spray offense is built for a guy like him who can catch out the backfield, who really doesn't like to run between the tackles because he's more of a speed guy, and you can use Key Payne as that guy if you want to run those entire type zones, help pick up blitzes. And then Torrey Mack is a kind of hybrid of both, but he has a little bit more wiggle, he can make you miss in a hole. So it's great to have two, you know, usually have a two-headed monster. Now you have a running back by committee with three guys, and I think it's just great for just that staff to just have the leeway to just pick and choose how they want to game plan each week and how they want to feature each back opposed to the defense that they're going up against.
Yeah, Ahmad, back to your article in the Saber Edge. You spent a lot of that article talking about the secondary, and comparisons have been made to the 95 team. But just talk a little bit about how important it is for the secondary. You know, and I'm a football fan, not a player, but mm-hmm. it just seems to me a lot of situations where if you have a secondary that has one-on-one coverage capabilities, that really frees up the defensive line and linebackers to try to put pressure on the quarterback, and it just really makes the defense that much better.
Yes, it definitely does. And with this secondary this year, they're very talented, but they're experienced as far as games they played. as far as Mosley, I think he's the youngest one, and he played in nickel packages last year, so he got a chance to play what they call them live bullets, where it's a real game, and he made plays last year. But with Razai Dowling and Chris Cook at the corners, you have two guys who's 6'2", just freaks of nature as far as athletic ability, and Razai just a great cover corner type guy. And I compare Chris Cook in analogy as far as like Al Harris. He's a guy who's better off just being in your face, giving you fits at the line of scrimmage. He's not a guy that's going to really cover you off man-to-man 7 yards deep. He's not that type of corner. He's going to play towards his strength. He's going to be physical. So with his physicality and Razai's cover ability, it allows for one of the safeties to be freed up in the box to kind of stop the run and make the offense one-dimensional. If you could take away one aspect of offense, you've done wonders for your defense. And the fact that we're young at linebacker this year and we have to reload as far as having another great pass rusher, those guys will allow that 1 to 2 second window for those guys to really work their stunts and get to the quarterback.
You know, not to put you on the spot, but, a lot of people, the expectations for the team as far as the media and the Atlantic Coast Conference, not that high. But what, from your perspective, expertise and knowledge, what do you expect out of this team this year?
I would expect more than 5 wins from last year. I mean, it's going to be tough, don't get me wrong, but like I said in my article, just speaking from the secondary standpoint, those guys can kind of dictate how the game's going to be. Those guys could generate points on their own. You know, they have a lot of ball hawks back there. They could just take away a lot of things, because a lot of teams in the ACC will like to throw you, have a vertical game. And then when you play a team like Georgia Tech, now you can really concentrate on stopping that triple option, that wing T hybrid that they run. And if you make a team like Georgia Tech become a passer team, as they did in their last bowl game in the Peach Bowl, they showed you they can't beat you throwing the ball. So if you have great shutdown corners, you could just send the house at teams and see if this quarterback can handle it. I mean, when they play a team like Virginia Tech, you know, their receivers aren't the most polished receivers, and this would be the year that you would just want to go out to Tyrod Taylor and just finally, you know, beat those guys, which we haven't done in the past couple of years. So I look for this team to at least win more than 5 games. I'm always optimistic that they can win at least 7 to 8 games, because you never know in the ACC what type of injuries, what type of great stories we'll have this year. But I think we will improve on what we did last year.
Ahmad, you brought up obviously the fierce in-state rival, VT. It reminds me of 1998, and I remember you on November 28th of that year running a sideline route and catching a ball that Aaron Brooks threw to you. You want to describe that moment for our fans?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just speaking on a top secondary, you know, Virginia Tech and their defense really rely. They rely on their secondary because they have a hybrid type defense that Bud Foster does a great job of preparing these guys. And, you know, with that defense, they force you to run sideline routes, and their corners will be sitting inside, and they're breaking on anything type of outcuts that you make. And Aaron, you know, we just got in the huddle. He called, the play was called Boston, just a mirror corner routes on both sides. And I had just came into the game for Kevin Coffey. He lost the contact. And Terrence Wilkins had been doing a great job all game. And when we broke the huddle, Aaron Brooks was like, I'm going to come to you, because I haven't really been touching the ball. And the guy just made a great throw on from the opposite half. I was on the wide side of the field. He just threw a rocket. Anthony Midget tried to undercut it and intercept it. And Aaron, with his great arm and his 100-mile-an-hour fastball, just hit him right in the face mask with it. And, you know, it wasn't a great route by myself. Anthony Midget, I thought, had a great break. He read my route, but it was just a great throw by Aaron Brooks. And he deserves all the credit, because his arm strength was like no other. I mean, you know, it's reminiscent of his cousin Michael Vicks. His arm strength, and Aaron threw just as hard as he did. And he was just blessed with just a throwing arm that you can't describe. You know, he could throw off his back foot. He can make every throw. And he didn't get as much credit as I thought he should, as far as being just a great quarterback who had great scrambling abilities, but wanted to be a great pocket passer.
Well, Maude, you know, I'm a lot older than you, but I always tell people sports is about moments. And that was one heck of a moment, not only for you, but for Virginia fans everywhere, not only those that were lucky enough to be at Lane Stadium, but those who were watching on TV and elsewhere. So it may have been a great throw, but it was also a pretty good catch. So
he forced me to hit me in the face mask. If you've ever seen the movie, I guess, I think it was a replacement with the guy caught in his face, man. I was almost like that guy.
Well, that's the old golf, you know, what do they used to say in golf? It's not how, but how many, you know. So it counted as 6 points.
Exactly.
We will never forget it. I remember the crowd I was with cheering loud and long. Ahmad, we've got about a minute before we go to break. I want to ask you about injuries. Any news on the injury front? What have you heard from Charlottesville?
I haven't really heard anything. I remember it was some buzz last week about Mikhail being in the walking boot. But one thing about Al Groh that he learned from Bill Belichick, he kind of keeps injuries under wraps. So he's not going to really – he's real secretive like a CIA agent. You can see that with his quarterback issues now, which, you know, is a good thing. It keeps – you know, because with the technology these days, teams can get an injury report and get a great scouting report on you. So he's keeping things under wraps. So I haven't heard anything as far as injuries.
I think we'd be happy if the CIA was as good at keeping secrets as Al Groh. Nevertheless, Ahmad, we really appreciate you sharing some time with us tonight. I think we're all looking forward to the season. This will not be, it'll be the first, but not the last time that you appear on the show. So we look forward to having you back. Thanks much, and we'll see you soon.
No problem. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Ahmad.
All right, we'll go to break now and come back with some closing comments. Mention our sponsors. Take any other messages that have come in via email or phone and close out the first show.
All right, who's talking? We're back. Love that music. All right, we've got some email questions. In fact, 15 people have emailed us, and we're excited. Jim, I'm going to spit out a couple of the questions they've proposed. One is, can Virginia win without a clear-cut leader in the offensive huddle?
Well, I think they will have a clear-cut winner. You know, I mean, hopefully one of these quarterbacks is going to emerge. You know, it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to consistently play three quarterbacks in a game. I think somebody's going to emerge. So, barring injury, I think there will be a leader, and in all likelihood, that leader is going to be Vic Hall.
I agree with you. Unless, of course, our buddy Jameel Sewell has something to say about that. Another good question I like is, how many points does UVA need to score against the Tribe to make a statement about the new offense this weekend?
Three. No, I'm just kidding. I'd say, pick a number of 30.
Yeah, I think 30 would be a great number and a real statement for Greg Brandon's new offense. A third question is, with Thomas Jones, Tiki Barber, Terry Kirby, some of those great UVA tailbacks, they were also terrific receivers, running routes and screens and hooks. They got their yards after reception. Do you think the running backs we've got now can fill that role?
Well, we'll find out starting Saturday night at 6 o'clock, I guess. You know, that remains to be seen. But I would think in a spread offense, part of that offense is going to be utilizing your running backs as receivers. As a matter of fact, one of the questions I was going to ask Frank Quayle when he was on was about I ran into Gene Arnett the other day in Charlottesville. And Gene made reference to the fact how good a receiver Frank was. You know, he racked up a lot of yards running the football, but the total yardage was also very impressive going back to Frank Quayle's days in the orange and blue.
Obviously, one question that has popped up, and I'm sure people are thinking this if they're not asking this, and that is how important is the game against Virginia Tech this year relative to Al Groh's situation as the head coach and for the Virginia program in general? How important is it?
Well, you know, it's undoubtedly important for the program, for Coach Groh and everything else. But, I mean, the old coach speak is the most important game on the schedule is the next one. So I think the coaches and hopefully the fans, I know there's a tendency to look ahead, and that's a big game. It's a home game, end of the year in November. But there are going to be a lot of games between now and then, and who knows how the season will evolve. But I think from the standpoint of a football team that comes into the year as a team that's coming off a 5-7 year, they need to take everybody seriously. It goes back to what I said earlier, respect all, fear none, take care of business on Saturday night against William and Mary. And if you do that, you got a very good TCU club coming to town the following week.
You know, thought that I have relative to this whole thing about UVA versus Virginia Tech is let's keep in mind Al Groh and the Wahoos have done pretty darn well against North Carolina, which is our oldest traditional rival, and most recently have fared better than average against Maryland, which when Al first got in the league, you know, Friedgen was winning 10 games a year when he first got rolling, and I think we've leveled that playing field, and hopefully we can keep our foot on the gas against those teams.
Well, Virginia Tech remains sort of the primary rival because of the in-state thing and the success of their program. Then I think you just have to take your hat off to Frank Beamer, his staff. They've done a terrific job building the program down there. I think I saw somewhere today that they're one of two or three teams in the country that have won 10 or more games each of the last 5 years. So the Hokies have had a lot of success, and give them credit for that. And hopefully come November, Virginia will be at a point in time where they can successfully compete against the Hokies.
Very good. We want to go through some quick news from Charlottesville. Some other sports, you know, basketball, we've gotten some great news this year. New coach, head coach Tony Bennett's received 3 verbal commitments for the coming year. The baseball program has gotten a $4.5 million expansion lining up for Davenport Field, fresh off their big run in the College World Series. In tennis, Michael Shabazz is competing in doubles at the U.S. Open, and former UVA great Samdev Devermon is competing in singles at the U.S. Open, and he won his first-round match. In golf, Wahoo grad Steve Marino has made news almost every week lately. We'd like to see him finish one of these tournaments. Men's soccer is getting ready to kick off their first game on Friday. I'm sure they're glad to be done with the exhibition season. Women's soccer is off to a great start, and women's field hockey is highly ranked and off to a good start as well. So Jim and I want to thank our sponsors at this time, and we'll hope to do a great job next week with our guests. We've got Tyrone Lewis is going to be coming in talking about the defense, and we've also got probably take more calls next week. But
calls, Chris White, a number of things. So we do indeed want to thank our sponsors, West End Orthopedic Clinic,
TGIF Fridays of Richmond,
LeClaire Ryan Law Firm,
Janny Montgomery Scott's, Bill Jeter and John Maloney,
our friends at the Virginia Athletics Foundation,
TheSaber.com,
CapTech Ventures,
Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists,
the Westin Hotel,
and Kelleher Heating and Air.
And I guess for Frank and yours truly, we're signing off, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
And I want to give special thanks to our friends Sarge Reynolds and Carl McNeil for their support last spring. And tonight's show is dedicated to my dad, Big Frank, the biggest UVA fan of all. Thanks so much, guys. See you next week.
Yeah, good night, everybody.